Now, it's a privilege for me to share for you today. I'm going to tell you about Tamarin. Last time we were here, we talked about how we met with my lovely wife, Sarah, who's done and sacrificed everything. She came to Africa to seek God. She made a deal with God that if I go to Africa, I'm going to sell everything that I've got, but make sure you give me a husband. And here I am. We told our story how we met. It was quick. Everything was done in a rush. We informed the parents on Skype. I said, I have a man. What? The dad was like. But we made it happen, organized all our wedding online. We did everything, landed here 2 weeks into our wedding 15 years ago. But I would like to appreciate my wife, Sarah, for raising three under three, and we are looking forward to survive the teenagers, three of them. So I'm going to tell you about Tamarin, our story, hopefully to inspire you and what God has done in our lives. Everything I want to tell you has been God. Without God, we wouldn't be where we are, and we still always wonder and amazed by what he does in our lives. So our story of Tamarin is anchored on what God can do in everyone's life once you set out to listen to his voice. Some of the takeaway things that I would want you to think is not of the oral stories, it's just going to be basic. But think about your life that we are all wounded healers. What I mean is like we've all gone through something. Others terrible, and sometimes you think yours is worse than the other until you hear other people's stories. But the good news is like through the wounds that you've gone through, you can use it to help someone. That's why I say we are wounded healers. The trauma you've gone through can be a testimony to help someone to find strength. The other thing is, we have to remember, Isaac, our life is observed in four phases. God knows everything about us because he created us in his own image. There are things you know about yourself. And then there are things others know about you. And then the other bracket is for what we are all trying to discover about us. What does that teach us? That we need to listen when we are corrected. We need to pay attention to what God is doing to us because God takes the biggest squares of our life. He created us for a purpose. So in my message today, I want us all to discover the purpose for why we are created. I'm a young boy still, but many of us here, you go back deep through my message and think, what was the purpose God put me here for? It's never too late to do God's will. I like the message today. I didn't know it was rhyme, but all in all, from what I'm going to talk about, like the seed God has planted in us would not happen if God did not send his son to give his life to us so that we can find good health, we find healing, we find wholeness, and we find long life, grace, mercy, deliverance, just everything you are listing, you know, so that we are kept from harm or danger. You know, we are rescued from harm for God and reserved for God's purposes. So the story of Tamarin started 14 years ago when, after we met with my wife, we were like, okay, we are now married. What are we going to do for the people of Northern Uganda? So just a quick recap, Northern Uganda influenced or got influenced by war and conflict. I know many people don't understand conflict. I don't want to go deep down. We hear in the news and see. But war, in any situation of war, there's some wars that are quiet and is all over the world is happening. It's not until someone comes and gives you a story. And people were kept in refugee camps for 20 years. It's just like someone being in prison for 20 years, being given everything in your little square kilometer that you live. Some camps big, as large as 60,000 people. Now, they lost all what a human being who is free does, learn, and cope up with. Now, what happens after the war? During the war, there's always aid coming in. And sometimes people get used to the aid because you wait for the trucks to come. And we've had stories in Gaza of how people were waiting for aid. But that happened in northern Uganda for 20 years. Now, it's always easier to hear the news of people suffering and people wanting need of help, medicals and everything. But people don't want to talk about the hope, the resilience that is anchored in the lives of those who have gone through surviving the 20 years of conflict. So we came up with Tamarin. The name alone is very significant. We thought, why? What name are we going to give to this? Because we got married, we needed to do something, but that keeps us together as a family. My wife always is so keen to, like, we have to do it together. If you're a gentleman here, you know what I'm talking about. Though sometimes we stray and do it and we want to inform her, it's already done, say, we didn't do it together. So we have to explain yourself to go through. So we had to sit under a tree. And then we said, let's look for a word from God that is going to guide us. And we sat under a tamarind tree like a picnic. We used to love picnic. All our datings, we would drive and go by the river. And then everything that we were doing in our dating, we used it to build this organization. So, from seed to success, it's just the story of what we started. We have a dream. We came up with Tamarin. What was the aim? To rebuild, restore, and renew the lives of the people I was talking about who had been through war and conflict. I'm going to be using... Yeah, okay, this way. It's actually... Activate for me, please. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, gone too far. Yeah. So we came up with an organization called Tamarin, and the quick aim was to say we're going to look at restoring the life of the local people, rebuilding the families that were broken through war. Of course, the first thing that gets destroyed is family. They get disintegrated. So, about us, we are a community-based organization. A community-based organization works with the community, and everything comes from the community. We don't decide for them what we want done. We work together with them so that when we are not there, they are continuing with all, because the ideas came from them. While a non-governmental organization, they draft their ideas and they come and want to give it to you. And then when they leave, everything stops. At that point, that's when we said, no, how can we create something that is long-lasting? The inspiration was, for me, was we look at all these companies like Coca-Cola or whatever. They've been there for 100 and so years. I go like, how can we create something that is going to outlive us? So, and especially from the story of Jesus, it helped me to think that how about with the leadership? teach the locals on how to look after themselves. That's why he used to urge the disciples, learn to pray, you know, learn to heal. You're going to be doing this soon. I won't be around. That was actually my guide. Each time I think of wanting to be leading and directing the people, it was like Jesus left his disciples, and right now, I would say, his organization is growing of Christians without him being present, but he sent a helper and inspiration for us. Now, a community-based organization, but our aim was to help the locals to change their mindset. Our whole issue is in the mind, actually, every day. If you don't change your mindset to positivity and to anchor it on what God wants, then you're finished. The other thing is, like, who we are, we aim at sustainability. In everything that you do, if it's not going to be sustainable, you have to think again on the root and how you built it up. But if it is built on God, we'll always never go wrong. Now, how do we do this? We focus on, first of all, remember I'm talking about people who have gone through conflict. So what we do, we have to first disciple this group of people and then talk about the trauma. Each one has to talk about the trauma freely, what they've gone through, because that's the key to healing. If you don't talk about what you've gone through, you're going to come with a lot of baggage and you'll be too heavy to move the journey with us. So the discipleship, the trauma, and the healing that takes place is the first priority that attracts the people to come. But the core of the lesson is forgiveness in the middle. Now, these are guys who are suffering, but they've gone through war and conflict, and they're hurt because someone did something to their families during the conflict. I'll give you a little bit of a hint so that you understand where the forgiveness has to come in. During rebel activities, young children were taken and their minds were changed to fight. So the only way of recruiting them was for them to eliminate their family members so that they don't think of going back. I'm not using graphic words. That's why I use certain words of eliminating your family so that you don't think of going back to your home. And if a rebel was to come and attack this area, it took someone who lived in that village because he would know. And now the hatred built up on that because they knew a son of the other person brought the rebels to commit atrocities in our area. In the modern day, it would be like sending in the spies to go and spy the area. Now, that kind of divided family members because the kids feared to come back after 22 years of war. Now, you had to forgive a child who brought someone in to kill your family members. Imagine what they had to get through. And they had to forgive themselves as well for the atrocities that they've done. Before that, you have to be accepted in the community as well. So it's our role to kind of bridge that gap. But how can we do that if you don't have God? Everything in a third world country is spiritual. That's the other point, take-home point I wanted you to understand. There's a lot of spiritual warfare in these areas that we work. And if you don't have God, you'll be absorbed in. Actually, you go crazy. That's why for 13 years, for my wife to survive in those areas, things don't happen the way you want. It's always new. So after going through that, the forgiveness we teach about is like, think and know what God has put in your heart, because you can't change anything. There's no choice but to let go and let God. That's the fact. You know, after 20 years of conflict, We tell you the truth. We talk about, sometimes people need to hear a straightforward thing. Like, you're going through this, get over it, and pick up your mat and walk. You know, just like Peter told the leper. Sometimes we dwell on one thing, and we look at ourselves, and it's all about us and what people have done to us. We tell them, no one is going to come and remove you from that situation. Please, let go and let God to replace. But it takes time. And the act of forgiveness is we demonstrate by putting bricks on the hands of the people and say, how long do you want to carry that? We make it be like a competition. Whoever wins, holding the longest, we're going. And indeed, those who come and compete, I'm going to be the winner, holding these bricks on both hands of the side, are always the ones with problems. But like I said earlier, we are all wounded in one way or the other. And in order for us to heal others, we have to let go what we went through. And we do that through when they are now ready, they come in into the projects. And the good pillars that we came up with was Zacrinum Hills. We work through the health, education, agriculture, land use, and sustainability hills. We use farming as a tool because for people to be attracted, they need to do what they're yearning for. If you want to preach, the way we preach is very clever. The end goal is like we're going to tell you about God, but we don't come at you like straight. We come through what you want. You told us you're hungry. When you say you go to school, you say we have to first go to the farm. You tell them, let's come and learn about business development. They say, oh, I'm going to the garden. So we had to go to the garden and find them there, just like Jesus followed the disciples in the river, in the lake, fishing. He did not call them and say, leave what you're doing. He followed them there and said, okay, let's fish. And then after they had done the fishing, he said, but don't you know, you can be fishers of men instead of relying on this. So always follow the person where they are, the visiting, and staying with them in their situation is going to help change the mindset on what you want to do. So the projects we've got in the health sector, we first want to make sure you're okay mentally and also through the nutrition by growing the good food. And then we have community development projects like coaching through relationship building. I've already talked about that. Once you build the relationship, these guys are now ready to be engaged in development activities in the society. Now, the locations where we do it in three, we do it in three locations. The farming skills we've talked about is we demonstrate the farming activities to them. Because these are guys who didn't know what they were doing before. So we have to demonstrate it to them at a farm called Pagak. We have about 6 hectares where we have demonstration plots and activities. I believe Graham will be excited when he goes there. And then we have the operation center. We built this from scratch using local materials and local people. It's through these activities of building and getting materials from them that we reach out to them. Like I said earlier, we package our message in the farming manual. The cross is in the middle. Because after we are doing what you think you want, I'm buying materials from you, materials for building, like stones and sand, you go and ask me, what motivates you? And then I tell you, you come aside. Whoever now reaches the stage of asking a question, I pull you aside and say, it's God. Our inspiration is actually God. And He's the one who has done this in my life. He has inspired me to do this to you. And that's when now they are welcome to join every local church. And then we have another location, which is Restoration. That's the most beautiful place. The only area that has a man-made lake, which supplies the water reservoir for the local city. And we expect to build there like a men shed type thing or a community center where children come and pray. My idea was like we need to create there a shed, like a house of prayer where people come and pray, and there's a library, you pick some books to go and read and study. So while I was in Uganda in January this year, we did a few things. That gentleman, Sue, this gentleman fell and broke his back, and he needs like a wheelchair, and we need to like revamp his house so that the wheelchair can go in and all that. But I was also working on fencing off the land that we demonstrate the farming activities on. We use local fiber wood, and everything, like you can see, is done manually. That's what I love about Africa. You want something, create it, do it. And who's going to help you? God. If it is raining, you stop doing everything. If it is raining, no work, because people don't drive or do anything. People are walking. I miss seeing people walking on the street, and that's what my wife had to go through for 13 years. She's tough, isn't she? Yeah. Yeah, the other thing is we're always getting new people. So how we work is we bring in local leaders and local people who want to get the training. We train them what we're doing so that they can go and duplicate in their communities. So we don't do everything. We train trainees. And like I said, we are a demonstration farm. So the best way of helping a community is always train leaders, whose leaders are going to train their own people because they know their people better. They know their families. So our focus is pick one family and let them go and duplicate. That's why we can enjoy looking after our kids here, and we have to travel and monitor things. Thank God for WhatsApp and everything. Every day from 3 p.m. up to about 9 p.m. I'm on the phone, on WhatsApp. You can get updates and videos on what's going on. But I travel every year or so when we can afford it to go and check on what's going on. Now, that's the that's the water they're getting at the moment. And that's the only river going aside, because with the farming, we were looking at land has to be near the river, because I learned something in Australia here that you cannot call yourself a farmer if you don't have water. And never try to start farming if you don't have water. So all the projects started with different water projects that we did a couple of years ago for communities of 1,600. We did another water project for 1,200 people where we live. At the operation center, we have also a borehole drill. This time around, we want to see if we can get water for the farm. That will be for the animals and the team there and the local community. Here I was seated trying to liaise with them, and we come up with ideas, and that's what happens. You sit under a tree, talk about what the need is, and see how to move forward. And we want to thank the church for the kids in school. There are 3 children being sponsored by the church. And I made sure they were in school when I went back. And then we did also sexual health education program in pictures. That's SHEP. I went with a lady from the Rotary Club. She's 78. I'd known her for 4 months through the Rotary Club meeting. She's like, I'm going with you. We went and, yeah, we booked a flight, and then at Batesman Bay, everything happened quickly. She came and survived. She never wanted to come back, but because of insurance, she had the biggest insurance on her. I had to bring her back. And she said she wants to keep going every year when we go. So we trained some local leaders who were coming from 6 districts, which are like areas, and working with different health centers on just the sexual health and how they can help local people keep clean or be safe in all the areas. That was wonderful. That's one of the health centers we went to the community to demonstrate. There she is, 78-year-old Shirley. Very strong and tough with a good spirit. And our focus for this year, I'm about to finish. These are some of the children in school with their materials before I left. It's to raise finances to keep these children in school. There are about 10 kids in school, but this church takes 3 children in school. And then we need to work on the borehole. I will definitely work on the proposal when it's the right time. This time around, I'm just giving you updates. And for further questions, we'll be talking more. And then, of course, development of the food stages. We have been operating and teaching the locals how to grow the food. Now we are going to a stage where they will be ready to use machinery. Because remember, it starts with the mind. It starts with the discipleship, the trauma rehabilitation. You have to be well. It's the same thing with this church. When you come, first be healed before you get involved in those activities. You need to first let go of everything you go through. That's the similar thing we use. We have to make sure you're well. Then you choose the departments, whether sound or wherever you want to go to. Same thing, whether you want to grow something, we cannot allow you to move forward if you've not dealt with whatever you're going through. And then we want to be able to process the goats. I don't want to use certain words for RSP reason, but we process the goat's meat. We want to package it, put solar and electricity to solar fridges so that we can sell the meat, so that you find a reward. The end goal is for a farmer to enjoy farming, because what they lost was being given free things made them lose the patience, they made them lose the trust of the works of their hands, and made them lose the trust in God. So someone cannot wait for 3 months from planting to harvest. The good news is we have enough land. The good news is we have enough rain, 1,400 mils a year. 2 seasons, starts raining in mid-March up to November. It's all rain. And then we have 3 months of dry spell. I went in the dry season. That's why everything looked dry. We have about 50 goats, 12 cows and rabbits, turkeys, ducks, and everything as a demonstration to show them that it can be possible to be done. We teach them to use their land, plant fruits and citrus, something that builds you. So, in conclusion, we want to say a big thank you for all your prayers and support financially. We need the prayers. Like I said, it's a spiritual battle when you go down there. And yeah. So we'll have more discussion when we go out. So we need your prayers every day for us as leaders of the organization. And whenever you can, hopefully something has inspired you for that project, for that seed that God had planted in your mind that you need to be involved in, for that urge. There's something in everyone that God has been wanting you to do, but you couldn't jump out of your shell. Please, be ready to do. You can follow us. My wife loves it when you follow her. Stories.
on Facebook and the social media. Your comments help us to be built. And I want to thank Sue for helping us this weekend put everything through and to remind me whether I had the PowerPoints. So that's it.
Thanks, Chris. That was awesome. And if you would like any questions, he'll be out there to answer them, and Sarah will be there having their little stall. And if you want to give, they did have the account number up there, but you can always put it into the church. Just mark it Tamarind and we forward it to them. But if you need a tax deductible receipt, you can go straight to them. We also, you know, as a BMI church, we have lots of missions opportunities, and so some people just donate to missions and then we're able to distribute it across the Philippines. With BMI, we also have churches in Uganda. Actually, there's a trip going over in September that Graham might be going to go on. So you never know, we might be able to visit your ministry as well. And in India and Congo. And so, you know, there's need, isn't there, for the missions over there. All right. Well, thank you, Chris. That was really good to explain that. It's just wonderful. So we're just going to finish up with a couple of songs as we leave this morning. Just remember just to be, you know, sensitive to if anyone's having prayer. And, of course, we always offer prayer at every service for anything that you want. And I just feel really encouraged to remind you again of communion. You can just get a little bit of juice and a little bit of a Jats picky, and you can take that and you can have the God life that God wants us to have. So don't forget that. And, again, we'll open the altar and we'll see you for coffee after that. Thanks, Dennis. So don't leave. If you're new, we want to visit you. We want to say hello.
God is great. Give him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere is glory on display. Take a look at those stars. You can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run. Angels have to praise. Even the wind and waves obey our God.
He's an awesome God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.
Our God is an awesome
our God. For my shame, Sunday morning rose up from the grave. Take a look at those scars on his hand.